Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
So I did a deep dive on X, formerly known as Twitter, about, well, we did our poll question on yesterday.
Yeah.
The left tackle position.
What? Who ended up winning that yesterday? I would imagine Tooney did, but it probably wasn't by as big a margin.
I think it was
62%.
Right? I'm scrolling down to get the actual factual number. 61.1% to 38.9% said Joe Tooney out of 535 votes.
Still amazes me that it was that close. You know,
Seriously? Technically
a landslide, but still, I mean, that's a lot closer than I thought it'd be. I thought it'd be an 80-20 split. I really did.
Yeah. 4 out of every 10 people are like, yeah, DJ. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
What is today, the 16th? No. Yeah, 16th. 2 days away from the playoff game against the Houston Texans, which, you can't look too far ahead. You can't think about who you're playing in the AFC championship game because you're not there yet. Because you see a lot of these people that get, and there's audio of this that I'm going to bring up. I'll go get it later, but there's a couple of instances where, I don't know, like the Minnesota one wasn't Kevin O'Connell's fault, but you remember when Dan Campbell's like, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the Rams put the audio up on the wall,
right. Which
whatever that means.
Right.
Can't do that. And then our guy, Sean Payton, said that he never lacks confidence and that he was looking forward to seeing the Chiefs for a third time. Quote, there's a lot of confidence in this team. If we could get past that game, the next game we felt real good about.
Yeah, that would be us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You beat the backup scene. Yeah.
And see, this is relevant to a conversation that I've had, you probably have with friends of yours as well, Mac as well. And people were like, yeah, I don't know if I want to play the Broncos because I don't want to play them for a third time. Well, you didn't really play them 3 times.
Right.
Right? Like, your backups played. And they have to come here in the playoffs with Bo Nix. We saw what Bo Nix looks like in the playoffs on the road. It wasn't good, right?
It was not good, no.
82 yards after the first drive and then threw for 0 yards passing in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, this is why a lot of people get annoyed with Andy Reid with his, like, press conferences, because sometimes when you play a team that's just, like, not as superior as you, like, say you're playing Carolina.
Okay.
What's Andy Reid going to say when they bring him to the podium?
We're looking forward to the challenge of playing Carolina, well-coached team.
That's a
good team down there, yep.
Never, ever, ever are you going to hear Andy Reid be like, yeah, we're really, listen, we're looking to play this team next week, to Buffalo and Baltimore.
Right.
Andy's got those guys. Like, he knows what they're going to do. He doesn't need to focus on that yet.
Right.
You got to focus on the now. And you can't focus on the then or the future or anything like this because, yeah, you want to play the Chiefs, man. But, like, if that was the mindset, and I get it, confidence and the quote could be misguided, whatever you want to say. But, like, I'm glad you have confidence in your team. But, like, if you were thinking about the Chiefs before you were focusing on the Bills, that's why you got blasted 30-7. Like, there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that, like, you have that energy and that confidence. But again, you've got to, like, maintain, you know, low tones when it comes to what's next, because there is no tomorrow. There is no, it's you win or you go home. And, you know, that's why I think so many of the good teams in the NFL are where they are, because they know what they have to focus on. They can't worry about, yeah, we're, because, like, I guarantee you right now, Josh Allen ain't talking to his teammates like, hey, man, we win this game, we get Kansas City again. They're focusing on Baltimore.
Yeah, you got to focus on Baltimore.
We're not looking backwards. We're looking ahead. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the division, you know, and there's a lot of confidence in this team. If we could get past that game, the next game we had to play we felt real good about.
So that's Sean Payton talking about the potential of playing the Chiefs. Here's the thing. Sean doesn't have a game to get ready for this week, so he's got nothing else to do except, you know, talk. That right there, I hate to break the news to Denver fans. As long as Sean Payton's the coach of the Denver Broncos, they will not be beating Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you gave Patrick Mahomes bulletin board material for next year. And I will say this, other than that 38-0 game with the backups in there, Denver has played Kansas City very good at Arrowhead Stadium two times since Sean Payton has taken over, right? That first Thursday night game where they almost won, and then obviously the block field goal game. Fantastic performances by Denver. But you beat the Chiefs in two consecutive years, one where Patrick Mahomes had the flu and couldn't stand, and two, you beat the backups. And so you've had some success of keeping it close against the Chiefs, but against the real Chiefs, the Denver Broncos have yet to win. So when Sean Payton says that kind of stuff, I start to think to myself, why are you saying this stuff now? Like, why are you stirring up the Hornet in January when there's no need to do that? Because that's what that did yesterday. That stirred up the Hornet's nest here in Kansas City. And Patrick Mahomes, he took those notes, he wrote those down, closed his book, and when the schedule comes out, he'll have those Bronco games circled, because now Sean Payton and his team believe that they've arrived and they're ready to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. And I hate to break the news to Sean Payton, those 16-14 games, those close games that you were playing with the Chiefs are probably now going to turn into blowouts, because now it got personal.
Yeah, maybe he bookmarked it, but I think Mahomes is, I think he's too focused on what time it is. Like, I think
early, he's aware of everything.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. I mean, I'm sure he bookmarked it and just, you know, set it back, and then when they play each other,
yeah,
again,
we'll get
next
back
year,
to it later.
It'll be like, yeah, we're really just, you know, and he leaves little Easter eggs whenever he says stuff every once in a while,
yep.
But no, he's already on Instagram putting up pictures of himself in the practice at St. Joe throwing the football. I was like, that's where the season started. It was posted, I think, about an hour ago. So he's up and at it early. I do think that, like, this is kind of one of those things where, like, I get what Sean Payton is saying. I think he just said it in a weird way. Like, I think if he was like, yeah, we just didn't play good against Buffalo, like, they outplayed us, they outmatched us, but, you know, we really want another shot at Kansas City, and we were really hoping that we'd get that. It's like, nah, that's probably the way you want to say it. Like, don't say we were looking forward to the next week's matchup, because, like, Buffalo, like, if
there
you
is no next week, you don't take care of this week.
Right, if you can't beat Buffalo, then you definitely can't beat Kansas City in the playoffs. Like,
right.
But ask Buffalo about Kansas City, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they know who's there. Everybody that's left in the playoffs, outside of Houston, because they're actually going to be here, but Buffalo and Baltimore, they know exactly where the AFC Championship game is. Hell, they know who's going to be in it, because he's been in it every year he's been a starting quarterback.
That's right.
Everybody already knows where you're going to have to go or who you're going to have to beat in the AFC Championship, because it's always been Patrick Mahomes since he's been in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't exercise that, right? They don't bring that out. Like, Lamar Jackson is like, we got a cold-ass game in Buffalo this week, and that's what I'm focused on. I know where the AFC Championship game is. I know who's going to be in that game.
But you got to win this week to get
right,
to that game.
Because it's irrelevant until it's relevant.
Absolutely.
Which is the obvious take. But
yeah,
I mean, I think that's where that matters. Like, if Sean Payton's like that hung up on the Chiefs, it's like, hey, man, like, you know, you got to focus on what your matchup is this week and then move on. Because, again, you look at the thing in Minnesota, right? Like, McVay heard that from Dan Campbell, bookmarked it, and said, see you in 2 weeks. Like, we're going to lose?
Yeah, right.
Like, no, you're not. Like,
no, we're going to win.
It's going to be at our house. It wasn't. Eventually, it was in Arizona. But again, like, that was a masterclass of a leadership of a coach with Sean McVay, because he went out there. He gave his guys just enough. Like, I'm not saying you have to put, like, videos and do what we do, like we're going to do tomorrow, and play all these Chiefs receipts and all this stuff where people doubted Kansas City and try to build up the audience. I think all you've got to do is be like, hey, by the way, that team over there said you're going to lose, and I coached that coach over there, and I know exactly how to beat his ass, and watch me do it. Stafford, make sure we're doing this. Puka, make sure you're over here. And he beat him almost with a flex. Cooper Kupp was irrelevant.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp was irrelevant in that game. But that game, I think, and I was thinking about this the last couple of days, the leadership that Sean McVay showed in that game and really in this entire 2 weeks of what's been going on, you know, out in Los Angeles. Even LeBron weighed in on it yesterday. He goes, this has really taken a toll on everybody mentally. It's very tough to get through all this. And Sean McVay's team did not look like a team that was affected by what was going on with the wildfires and the displacement of everybody in Los Angeles. And to me, that's the definition of a true leader. And not enough is being made, I don't think, about how the Rams played and how Sean McVay led that team to a win over the Minnesota Vikings at a neutral site when everybody's dealing with real life stuff, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times in sports, we don't deal with real life stuff. The players never have to deal with anything that's real. But really, over the last 5 years, everybody has dealt with real life stuff, from COVID to where we are right now with these wildfires out in LA. And he led. Harbaugh didn't. That's the difference between McVay and Harbaugh. Harbaugh's team went on the road and they looked completely out of sorts right from the get-go. I mean, it was not a good performance by them at all. And that's why coaches matter. That's why leadership matters. That's why I'm so hard on these coaches in the NFL. Yeah. And I don't believe in a lot of these coaches in the NFL because I don't believe they're good leaders. I don't believe they're good leaders of men. And I don't care about, you know, your X's and O's and all that kind of stuff. If you can't be a communicator, if you can't be a leader, if you can't be somebody that everybody wants to follow, then you're not going to be a good head coach. And that's what happened with Sean McVay. He led his team and rolled the Minnesota Vikings. The other LA team wasn't led and they pooped the bed. And, you know, you start to look about all these coaches that are left other than the Eagles, which all of a sudden now all these stories on Nick Sirianni being this great players coach are starting to come out. Every one of these coaches that is left is more of a leader than they are of a coach. And that's why they're still standing. How good a coach is Dan Campbell? I don't know, but he's a leader. That guy is a leader. You're going to follow that guy, right? You're going to follow Andy Reid. You're going to follow D'Amico Ryans. You're going to follow Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh. You're going to follow Sean McDermott. Like, these guys are leaders right now that we have. And other than Nick Sirianni, that's why we're here. That's why these eight teams are left, because these coaches have led this organization. And when you can lead, you can win.
Yeah, I think lead's kind of vague, because I think there's the way you have to look at a head coaching is you have to have a system that's believable, achievable, and then you have to prove it. And I think when you look at these coaches that are left in here, like Dan Quinn took over in a perfect situation, in my opinion. He took an offensive coordinator who's got a little bit of clout that went away for a little bit, cleared his mind, came back, said, hey, we're going to have this rookie quarterback. I want you to go and check him out. Mm-hmm. I watched Zach Ertz's interview the other day on The Herd. And 12-year vet, right? And Kingsbury, like, called him. He's like, hey, watch the rookie camp. And he's like, why? I'm a 12-year vet. What do I care, right? Whatever. He's like, watch his quarterback. And Zach Ertz watched the quarterback, and rookie camp was like, okay, all right, this is nice, right? Like, this is what basically Kelsey did with Mahomes, right? Yeah, he, like, right. was, you know, whatever with Alex Smith, pretty good. And then realized, like, all right, I'm going to turn my career completely around. It's believable. Andy Reid's draft this guy. He's going to put in a system that we're all going to jump on, and we're gonna move forward with this. Going for a three-peat.
Right. Who was the quarterback last year in Washington? It wasn't Taylor Heinicke. Was he last year or was he 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. Last year was Sam Howell.
Yeah.
The rookie out of North Carolina.
Thurston's kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it.
James's brother, who's a board op here.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other thing, too. Like, McVay, look, his system was believable. Jared Goff, you know, whatever, did well. Got Stafford. Turned the organization around, gave him a focal point, showed him what to do. It's believable. Whether or not we believe in Sirianni,
the players clearly do, I guess.
His record would indicate that he's doing something right.
That's
now, he
right.
has a super talented team. He's got a very good general manager, and he's making sure that it stays afloat until it doesn't, which is in the playoffs. But look, his win-loss record is probably the best in football in the last, what, like, in the NFC at least, in the last 3 years.
They've been great. They've been a good football
Campbell's
team.
Campbell's up there. He's up there.
McCarthy's probably up there.
McCarthy is up there, yeah.
Right. And so, like, when you look at these guys that it, like in the playoffs, like John Harbaugh, his system, they went and drafted Lamar Jackson 32 overall because everybody thought, I don't know, he took a chance on Lamar. Mm-hmm. He turned Lamar into a believer and a two-time MVP, and so did Lamar. That system works, and they've moved forward. You look at everybody else in the AFC. Houston, they're doing that now, right? D'Amico Ryans went in there and said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lead with an iron fist, and we're going to be a defensive-minded team, and we're going to trust our offense and our rookie quarterback who's super talented. It's working. So, yeah, I mean, coaching matters, leadership matters, but if you have a system and it is believable and achievable, then everybody gets behind it. And that's why we always talk about this. You go back to St. Joe, it's hotter than hell, and it's in the middle of summer, and you have to go 45 minutes from your house, maybe more for other people. Hour and 20 minutes, whatever it may be. And it's like, why do they do this? Look where they're always at.
Yeah,
they've never had a losing season, and they're tighter than a pickle jar, like a lid on a pickle jar. They just, nothing gets out. Everything stays within the walls. And then it's all of a sudden 15-2, 14-3, 13-4. That's just what they are because everybody's bought in. Everybody believes.
And that's what you have to do. And that's why I look at a lot of these coaches in the NFL and you're like, oh my God, these guys are out over their skis a lot of the times.
Look at Arthur Smith, man.
Arthur Smith, not a good coach.
Look at the guy in, 2 years ago in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston pulled rank.
Yeah.
He was like,
Dennis Allen, right? Was that guy's name? Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, Jameis, kneel it out. And Jameis goes, we ain't doing that. Get this guy an incentive. Screw this guy. And he cost that coach basically his job because then the next year in the locker room, nobody listened to that coach and they fired him immediately, halfway through the season.
Well, I think they fired him in week 6 this
Arthur,
year, right?
Arthur Smith, same kind of guy in Atlanta. He's like, yeah, I just know more. It's like, when you let your ego take over what your team can be, then, and sometimes you have to have a little bit of an ego.
No, you do have to have an ego, but you have to know how to utilize that ego.
McVay, Campbell, those guys, they know how to use their ego.
Like, they're not telling everybody they're the smartest guy in the room. No. People just know that that's the guy that you're going to follow. And that's why hiring a head coach in this league, I think for a long period of time, and I think it's changing. It seems like it's changing a little bit this year. It seems like these teams are doing a little bit more due diligence right now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Jets have interviewed 11 guys for their job and the Bears have interviewed 13 guys for their job. And I know the Twitter, smarties will say, oh my God, that's so many people. I think it's great. Cast a wide net. See who's out there. See what you have the opportunity to do and to hire. And don't just be focused in on somebody because Peter Schrager said he's the next offensive coordinator that should be a head coach. I mean, and that's where it's been over these last couple of years. It's like, oh, well, we heard this guy's name on NFL Network in July. And so if he has a good season by the end of the year, we're going to hire him as a head coach. And and that's just not the way that you do it. I think Mike McCarthy right now is a guy that should have a job before anybody else in this hiring cycle because he is a successful coach. Pete Carroll, I guess, is in the hiring cycle right now. He should be hired as well. But like Mike McCarthy, we were kind of talking about this yesterday. Guy gets fired in Dallas, 3 straight years of 12 wins or more. And I'm looking at Mike McCarthy and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I think Mike McCarthy gets the short end of the stick. It's easy to rip on Mike McCarthy. And I was one of those guys, because I was talking with Josh yesterday. He goes, you remember him now? I'm like, yeah, because I never remembered who he was up in Green Bay. But the more information that we're starting to get and starting to realize, Mike McCarthy has had to deal with 2 of the most narcissistic people in the history of the world, Jerry Jones and Aaron Rodgers. And still manage to win games by having to manage those egos. Look what Aaron Rodgers did to the Jets organization. Single-handedly destroyed that organization from the inside out. Imagine what he was doing in Green Bay, and Mike McCarthy held that thing together for all that time. Yeah, they only won 1 Super Bowl, but it may be a miracle that they won that Super Bowl with selfish Rodgers up there playing quarterback and being narcissistic. And then with Jerry Jones, I mean, my God, you went from one narcissist to the next narcissist. You didn't have your starting quarterback this year, and you still won 5 in a row at one point of the season. I think Mike McCarthy should be the guy that the Bears do go out there and hire. I think he's the best available coach right now.
So, yeah, I don't know. Look, we just talked about having the believable and achievable system. Mike McCarthy, it just seems that when the playoffs get there, it struggles. And, you had Aaron Rodgers for those years in his prime, won 1 Super Bowl. Now, again, I don't know how much of that's on Rodgers or how much that is on game prep or how much that is, altogether, whatever. Because I know that it got really sour between those two towards the end.
Sure. But Aaron Rodgers is the key in all of this. He's the common denominator in every one of these things that have gone south.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is there.
And so, what I will say is the 2 years that McCarthy was at his worst was when Dak Prescott was out.
Right.
This year he was out in his first year as head coach. He was out as well.
Right.
The next 3, obviously, 12-win seasons. But again, last year you lost to the Packers with a rookie, not a rookie quarterback, but a young quarterback at home where you didn't lose all year and somehow you lost.
Yeah.
Got
motorboated in that game too.
That's got to be on McCarthy's shelf. And I think the other thing that I have been told and that I've read is that he's not the most, I don't want to say family guy, but he's not the most when Andy Reid walks in the locker room, he can tell you about, hey, how's your young kid doing? Or how's this?
Yeah, he's got a connection with the players.
Right. Yeah. McCarthy's more of just a red ass, introverted, doesn't really care. He just wants to get to business, move on and do that. That's just from what I've been told, what I've read about him. And I think that goes a long way too. So that obviously doesn't suit well with the two names that you mentioned in Rodgers and Jones. Like,
right.
When they have that kind of guy who's just like, yeah, whatever. It's like, hey, listen to me when I'm talking to you. It's like, then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, McCarthy's record in the regular season is fantastic. I believe he's 11-11 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So he's 500, which is still.
Still, it's not bad. I think
we look at other people's record and you're like, well, Andy Reid's 43-17.
Like, but look at Andy Reid before Patrick Mahomes, though. Right. You know?
Never won in the playoffs, really, with Alex Smith.
Right.
Won one game, I think,
one
with Alex
game,
Smith.
The Houston game, yeah.
And then obviously had other losses, but I think that's the problem with McCarthy is I think that like his team doesn't necessarily have that connection. Now, again, this is why the other day we talked for many, many
segments.
Do you
think Bill Belichick cared about anybody's kids though either, you know, when he was the coach of New England?
Yes, because I think he was different to the media than he was to the players. I think he just didn't like answering questions. Like, you look at his personality now off the field, I think he was that guy in the locker room. But when everybody asks him questions about stuff that annoys him,
yeah,
right? Like, I bet Ned knew everybody's kids, but when everybody's, out there like, so you pitched blah, blah, blah in the eighth. Like, yeah, I pitched him in the eighth. I didn't have any other bullpen options, and he was coming off 2 days rest.
Yeah.
They get annoyed by that. That's mm-hmm. why these guys are better now than they were, like Saban and Belichick, because, one, they're not prepping every single day. They're not, you know, getting ready for games. They're not having to answer questions.
Oh, I understand the answering of the questions and how it could get annoying.
I think that's the I think that's the Belichick thing. But I do think that like with McCarthy, there's something there because to get one title with Rodgers, even if he was an a-hole, like to get one title in that run where he was in his prime, it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
Because like playoff football should have been a lot different because
ultimately the players have to go out there and play.
Right. And I mean, the other thing too, is that like for five, 6 years, Rodgers was the best quarterback of football and it wasn't close,
but he lost to Eli in the playoffs.
Brady.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Twice in the Super Bowl. And it's not a shot at Eli.
The Giants are just that weird team that like just somehow like pissed a lot of people off and it just happened twice.
Yeah, but people are talking about Eli getting ready to go to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Like and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You can preach all you want about regular season, but when the big games came and he was in the playoffs, needed to make plays, Eli made those plays, right? He was there. Aaron Rodgers didn't make those plays. And that's the difference between Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers. Like, Eli Manning made the plays when you need to make the plays. If Aaron Rodgers is going to have the title of being this great player, right?
Uh-huh.
You can't fail in the postseason. Eventually, you got to go out there and perform, right? Patrick Mahomes performs. Michael Jordan performs in the playoffs. The big-time guys, Tom Brady, all these guys that are considered the best, they show up when it matters the most. And Aaron Rodgers, you're the quarterback of the team. You are going to wear those losses more than anybody else. And I think we're starting to see with the way that this thing has gone on with the Jets, maybe Aaron Rodgers was a bigger problem, and maybe Mike McCarthy worked wonders there in Green Bay. I think he's going to be the next Bears head coach, and I think that's the right move for the Chicago Bears.
Well, he better figure out how to be more wholesome, because I don't think that's the right play for Caleb Williams. I think he needs a young offensive coordinator. I think he needs the Kevin O'Connell type. That's my opinion, though.
But the Bears also, I mean, they've had these coaches. Like, the Bears are in it. If the Bears were coming off Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells or Andy Reid or somebody like that, I would say, okay, I'm with you like that. The Bears need to find a way to revitalize their organization, bring credibility back to their organization, and win. And when Mike McCarthy has a good quarterback, he wins games.